preach on this last year, the first week of January? Yes, I did. Well done. We're going to do it again. What is your role in the church? I don't mean what office you have or what committee you're on or how you're listed in the handbook. I mean, as a Christian, as a member of the church, as part of the congregation, what is the task of each of us? Listen for it as I read our passage this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he who also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure, the whole fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their scheming, deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Oh Lord, would you open our hearts this morning to your word? I pray that your spirit would be at work in us, that you would be empowering us even now for your ministry this year, and would you plant your word very deeply in our hearts so that we live out of the truth that you've declared over us in Christ. Amen. So first of all, the role of the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers is what? To prepare God's people for works of service. So the role of God's people? Works of service. Okay, to what end? What goal do these works of service tend toward? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what is your role? If you are among the people of God, what is your role? To serve in such a way that the church is unified in faith and in the knowledge of Christ and built up to maturity to be like Christ. Verse 16 says, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that we grow and mature as a church as who does its work? Each part. Just briefly, what are we striving for as a church? What's our goal? And what are you called to do about it? As a church, we're striving to grow into the likeness of Christ. And maybe that's not exactly how you've heard it before. You might say, well, isn't our goal to save souls? Yes, and then some. Jesus did come to save souls, as we see on the cross very clearly. You and I have eternal life not because of our goodness, not because of good things that we've done, but because of what Christ has done, because he died on the cross to forgive our sins. The essential message of the gospel is that this broken world can be reconciled to its creator through the work of Christ. So becoming like Christ then clearly includes bringing people to salvation. If that's Christ's work, then that's also our work. We call them to trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins so that they can enter into this relationship with God that we have. And if we don't continue to look outward, if we don't continue to reach out to the community, to our family, to our co-workers, and welcome them into the saving grace of God, we've not yet become like Christ. But we're striving for far more than just getting people saved in a one-time initiatory sense, like, boom, you prayed the prayer, you're done. That's it, you're saved. We invite people into what we've been called to, which is growing to the full stature of Christ. Analogy. Alyssa and I are kind of into the Lord of the Rings movies. You know, we agree that hobbits are wonderful little people and the world would be a merrier place if we all had a more hobbit-like sort of attitude. But anyway, one of the fun things about the movie is how they made these full-grown actors look like they're only 3.5 feet tall standing next to other full-grown actors. Well, one way that they did it, of course, was they actually had scaled doubles, that they actually had actors that are that height that would stand in for the stars and, you know, they kind of, you know, make sure their faces aren't facing the camera at the time. But there really are, of course, people who never grow to be 4 feet tall. Now, granted, there's some variation in what constitutes a normal size adult, but even so, and not to be politically incorrect, but I think we could agree that if you stay that short your whole life, something didn't go quite right developmentally speaking. And no offense to them, but their body didn't function the way it was supposed to when they were growing up. And we can agree on that. And yet in the church, this happens all the time spiritually, and nobody seems to be surprised about it. I mean, if somebody never grew any taller than they were when they were born, we'd say, well, something went really wrong with their growth pattern. And yet there are all kinds of people that never seem to grow spiritually past the point where they were when they were born again. Their growth is stunted. If that happens, something went very wrong in their spiritual development. We're supposed to be growing up. Well, to what point? When are we full grown? When we're like Christ. Verse 13 says, when we reach the full stature or height of Christ. If someone says to themselves, well, you know, this is just what I'm like. I'll never change. I am what I am, and I'll always be this way. And they've stunted their growth. And they've forgotten what Scripture says God made them to be. But not only individuals are meant to grow to be like Christ, as a body we are. We grow together in maturity. So it says we're to reach unity. What does unity mean? I mean, if we're not fighting, we're all just kind of getting along, does that constitute unity? Well, just because no angry words are being exchanged doesn't mean we're necessarily united. What is it that unites us? It says we're to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, so as we live by faith, if we're all striving together to follow Christ, not just to do church, not just to, you know, run an organization or to have events, but actually to follow Christ for the good of others and for the glory of God. If that's our common pursuit, if we're seeking to know Him, seeking to grow in our knowledge of Him, that pursuit will unite us. For all the differences we might have about how to do that or where, we can agree on the who and the what we're all trying to achieve. And we're to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. As Christ is holy, we're to be holy. As Christ loved us, we're to love others. As Christ taught us, we're to teach others. As Christ cares for the lost and the needy, and is patient and forgiving, and lives in constant fellowship with the Father, so are we to do. This is kind of a long process. In fact, it takes our whole lives. If you look at yourself, you can undoubtedly see places where maybe you're not exactly like Christ. I can think of a few hundred in my life, or 1,000. I can't count that high. So how do we achieve that? How do we keep moving? How do we individually and as a body move toward being more like Christ? Well, that's where you come in. You are the parts of the body who do the work of building up the body to be like Christ. As we speak the truth in love. You say, wait, no. That's the pastor's job. Aren't I supposed to be the one that does that work? Well, what does the Bible say? It says, as who does their work? As each part. When you look around at the church and you think, well, you know, I can look around and see some really mature people in faith, but I also can see people that are, you know, maybe not as mature in their faith. You could say, well, they'd better get themselves into shape. Or you could say, well, the pastor ought to, you know, really work with that person. The deacons really ought to do something to help them. Or you could say, I wonder what I could do to help that person grow, to encourage them in their faith. When you look at the Sunday service, you might think to yourself, well, I don't really like that style of doing things, which is really missing the point altogether. Or you could say, I think our worship could be more Christ-like, more edifying to the church and glorifying to God if they would do things this way, which is a good deal closer. At least we're working towards the right goal. But you could say, I bet I could contribute something. Or I could at least put forth an idea. I could contribute a direction or an idea or a thought to the church that would help us worship more like Christ. So what's the goal? Again, not to run a church, not to do programs. Our goal is to be more like Christ in how we worship and how we reach out to others and how we think and live and love and learn. And how do we achieve that goal? When the parts of the body, the people of God like you, serve to build us up toward unity and maturity in Christ. Now maybe you think to yourself, no way, that's not me. I can't do those things. I can't teach. Okay? Can you pray? I mean, can you pray for others? Can you pray with others? You might say, I don't pray with people. I pray for them, but I can't pray with them. Don't sell yourself short. Can you pray with them? Can you study Scripture with another person? Can you encourage someone in their worship, in their service? Can you invite them to serve with you in something? Can you help them in their fellowship with God? You know, we may all have different gifts, but they're all given to us for one purpose, for the strengthening of the faith of the church, for the building up of the body of Christ, and to reach out and bring others into it. I'm not making this up. This is what God's Word says. This is His plan for building up His people to use all the parts of the body, like you. And if you say, well, forget it, that's not me, we've got a slight discrepancy between what God says you can be and what you say you can be. Don't make yourself less than what God is making you. Now, in all fairness, you may say, okay, I'm willing. I just don't know if I'm there yet. Fair enough. There may be some things that you're not ready for. If you've been growing as a Christian for 5 years or so, you're probably more ready to teach and encourage and strengthen the body than maybe you'd like to admit. Maybe you're just a little nervous about giving it a try. Now, could you be more ready? Could you be better equipped to do the work of the church? Sure, we all could. And that's where I come in, and the deacons, and the teachers. You know, there are people in this church that have been opening their Bibles on their own time and together with others, have been teaching and learning with others, and serving and growing in their service to God for years. And Merrill's one, and Jeff, and Gail, and Mike, and Cindy, and me, and several others. Ephesians 4 says it's our job to prepare the people of God for works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. And if I haven't done that as well, if the leaders of the church haven't done that as well as maybe we could have, I apologize. I'm sure that's true. We're still growing in our leadership, in our capacity to teach. But we're also going to have a hard time preparing you for works of ministry, for acts of service, if you don't really want to grow in your ability to serve. The deacons and I have been doing a lot of talking with you and with each other about how we can do this better. How can we equip the body of Christ for works of service, for making disciples as Jesus taught us? Well, we're going to start working on strengthening our Sunday school teachers so that we don't just kind of throw them in and say, good luck, thank you for serving, you know, sink or swim. But you have some backup so that if you volunteer to be a Sunday school teacher, you're not just doing it on your own, but you've got people to draw on and you've got support to draw on. We're also going to be starting February 10th some small groups just for 7 weeks that meet during different times of the week. They're going to be led by the deacons, we who have been studying this and working on this, and we'd really like you to be a part of this. We're going to be studying what Jesus commanded us about making disciples and how that applies to each person. I cannot recommend you strongly enough to be part of one of those groups, to get involved, to actively look for ways to grow and to be equipped for acts of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. And what we're going to do right now is something that we did last year. It is one of Bill Parrish's very helpful contributions to the ministry of the church, actually. We're going to pray for those who are serving in various roles in the church. And I want to recognize and honor those who this year have stepped into those volunteer roles, those positions, and have been willing to serve. But I also want to point out that those who have official positions are not the only ones who serve in the church and outside of it. And likewise, just having an official position, having a title, doesn't automatically mean you're building up the church. So I want to thank you to those that have been willing to step up, have been willing to answer the call to serve that you've received. We're going to pray for you by group. We're going to have you stand up just wherever you are as your group is identified. And we're going to ask God's guidance in your service. We're going to ask that He strengthen your faith, give you wisdom, give you character, in order to serve in the position you've been given to build up the church. And at the end, we're going to pray for all of us, because we're all the ministers of the church. And as I pray for each group, I'll pause for just a moment, and I'm going to leave some time for you to pray silently for each part of the church. So we're going to be affirming now and commissioning those who have been called to serve this year. So in the first place, can I have myself as the pastor, the moderator, it's not too challenging, and the deacons to all stand up, and we're going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of this church. You are the head who gives growth to the whole body. Thank you for the leaders of this church. Thank you for the men of mature faith that you've called to guide and equip the rest of the body. I ask that you'd give those of us who lead the wisdom to make good decisions. Would you give us love for the people of the church? Give us close fellowship with you so that the decisions we make, the leadership that we give others, would be rooted in the leading that we receive from your Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Can I have the trustees, the Larrisons, I have the clerk, treasurer, auditor, financial secretary, and finance committee, everybody that's involved with being stewards of the resources God has given the church in a physical capacity. Let's pray. Oh, generous God, we are so thankful for everything that you've given this church. We have so many opportunities and resources. Make us sensible to the gifts that you've showered on this church. Our building, the ministry center, the curriculum that we have that other churches around the world would ache to have, the tithes and offerings that you've enabled each person to give. And we thank you for the responsible and faithful Christians of maturity who watch over these resources. Would you give them wisdom? Give them prudence in handling these resources. May all the decisions that they make and the work that they do flow from a heart that is continually shaped by their faith in Christ, by the wisdom of God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Can I have the Sunday school officers and teachers, nursery, junior church, youth ministry? Holy Spirit, as Jesus called you the Spirit of Truth, would you lead us into all truth? It's an incredible responsibility that you've given us to guide the hearts of your people. Thank you for appointing these teachers and coordinators to lay the truth of Scripture before us, before our kids. Give those who work with the children, give them grace to love them well and to lay a solid foundation of faith in Christ that can be built on for years. Give those of us who work with the youth and the adults grace to care for those under our instruction. May we teach them faithfully according to your word. Can I have everyone who's involved with leading the Sunday service? So that includes the hosts, that is the greeters, musicians, if you are involved in the music, Tom, and anybody that's involved with the Sunday service, would you stand with us? Lord Jesus, we praise you that you gained the victory over death on a Sunday morning. And for 2,000 years, we've been gathering together on Sunday morning to celebrate that fact, to remember the resurrection. Thank you for this weekly opportunity to remember your victory, to worship you in celebration of the gift that you've given us. We thank you for all those who serve in our weekly worship. May they have the aroma of Christ about them. May they serve and give and love people with humility and joy and their hearts set on you so that every person that walks in would be reminded of Christ, that they'd be directed to your worship and your love. I have a CWU, the Benevolence Committee, everybody that's involved with the outreach and the care that the church extends into the community. Oh Lord, we recognize that you're not just the God of this church, but you're the God of all creation. You're the God over this community, and there's no person on earth who doesn't receive your love. I pray that you'd also teach us to love those beyond the church. Thank you for all those who extend the care and the message of the church beyond our walls, beyond our congregation, through funeral dinners and through care packages, through community programs, through financial aid, through the missionaries that we support. Would you burden each of us with the salvation of the lost, with compassion for those who are hurting? Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, we're your servants. Send us into the ministries that you have for us. Some of those may be official positions. Some of those may be just as casual as our interactions at work. But as we walk daily with you, empower us to encourage each other, build each other up, by speaking the truth in love. May our lips be filled with messages from you. Help us to love our neighbors well. Help us to love our families and our co-workers and our customers or patients or students or whoever we work with. Even the ones that kind of frustrate us sometime. Maybe we love them. May we be your presence. May we be your kingdom on earth through the words that we say, through the work that we do, through the love that we show. Build up this church, Lord, I pray, to be used for your glory. Amen. You can stay standing, by the way.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, who gives me strength with thine own hand. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation, purify from within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away, Lord, all my sin.
You may be seated. Can I have the deacons come forward?